I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Reverend Guitars have kicked off 2021 with their first ever S-Type guitar. In true Reverend style, this cracker of a guitar features classic looks juxtaposed with modern electrics. Introducing the Gil Paris GPS signature model from Reverend Guitars. Whilst on first glance, the pickup arrangement looks fairly standard for an S-Type. In fact, each of the single coils is a Fishman Fluent single-width pickup. These can be switched with a push-pull tone control between two voicings, a vintage voice, the classic Airy 50 single-coil sound, and a hot Texas voice for a hotter, punchier, more modern alternative. Check out the GPS and all of Reverend Guitar's mouth-watering models at reverendguitars.com. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast, Season 2, Episode 7. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
Matt Knight.
Radical.
And Naomi McLeod.
How are you?
That's right. That was a good pace, everyone. Good pace. Good pace to start the episode off. Yes, and dear listener, this week, there's some news. We're going to be talking about a few bits and bobs. I'm going to be talking more about the whole modding thing because it's very exciting. And of course, you know, my continued obsession with plugins. The rest of my band have pointed out that it's got bad. Like my gas for plugins is getting bad. Like I'm messaging them all the time and being like, hey guys, I've just found this plugin with 50% off. You know, you should take advantage of that. And that's kind of the problem with plugins is because, you know, they're not a physical thing. So it's, you know, 100% profit in that sort of sense. I know it's not technically, but, you know, you can sort
I'm sure they wouldn't consider it
no,
that.
No, of course they wouldn't. But, you know, it's you know, there's not like a physical material backline after you've paid for the R&D and everything. So it's something that there are discounts for all the time and random plugins that are like, yeah, this plugin is now free if you subscribe to this newsletter. That's happening all over the place. And the problem is I'm so incredibly susceptible to deals. Like, have you seen Josie and the Pussycat?
Well,
just not even deals, just like you're just really susceptible to, like, you're like Darren Brown's dream. That's what you are. You're just, if a magician goes like, Joe, you are an alien, you'll be like, bleep blah blah bah human. you don't take much push in the direction, do you?
Which is nice.
It means you're trusting. It's why people like you and they don't really like me because, you know, I take advantage of things like that.
Have you seen Josie and the Pussycats? Has everyone seen that movie?
No.
It's a movie about the punk band.
I haven't seen films. No. Okay. So
right, fine. Well, in Josie and the Pussycats, their manager is just like that. He is obsessed. It doesn't matter. You've not seen it, so you won't get the joke.
I'm getting it confused with, like, Gem and the something. Wasn't there another?
Gem and the Holograms.
That was it.
Gem was truly outrageous.
I love the fact that we're all like, yeah, this is bloody brilliant. And Joe's like, oh, wait, what about my
Yeah, thing? I don't need to talk about a live action movie from 2001, but if you want to talk about a cartoon rock band from like the early 90s, then 100% we're in.
Right,
I see. I understand. Very well. But yeah, I've been buying a lot of
a lot of plugins. Arteria made a load of a bunch of their synth plugins like half price or 40% off on Plugin Boutique this week. Ugh. I finally paid for Addictive Drums 2, which is, after review and using, spending a solid week on the trial versions of all the different drum software, Easy Drummer, Addictive Drums 2, Stephen Slate Drums, and a handful of others. After spending some time on all of those, I settled on Addictive Drums 2 and coughed up the £160 for the... for the three drum kits that it comes with. But it's very good. I will say, I absolutely think I could completely make music using that, and you would never, ever know that it's not.
Well, yeah, because I would never listen.
No.
So, exactly. Of course I'm never going to know.
Of course, yeah.
Just looking here, Joe, it's really comprehensive. They're addictive. Packs. So what did you get? Did you get three packs then for your...
With the different options, you can, the basic one, I ended up going for the basic one because essentially there's a custom one where you can choose the loops that it comes with,
right?
But I wasn't that interested in the loops. So the great thing about the loops on Addictive Drums is they are all in MIDI form as well, so you can kind of drop them in and then like move bits around, like change stuff. So it's quite nice you can almost like drop in a loop because you can be like, this is the sort of thing I want, drop it in, write your guitar part, and then come back to the drums later and be like, yeah, this should do this here and that there and stuff. And
yeah, so, but you've got your MIDI parameters there as well, so you can actually do your velocity and whatever else you want to do that you couldn't necessarily with audio loops.
Well, exactly. And that's it's so the interface with Addictive Drums is so incredibly comprehensive. So for each drum, you've got this each drum or cymbal, you've got this entire screen where you're choosing everything about the global sound of it, applying effects to it, you know, changing the tone, the pitch of those drums, all of that stuff, loads of things like that, the individual compression on bits and bobs. And then you have like a master screen, which is kind of dealing with the whole kit. So it's considering the room size, room mics, stuff like that, which is of course something you don't necessarily get with samples. If you're using sampled drum kit, drum hits and loading those in, you need to use the same set, and it's always, you know, that was in a fixed room, you know, with a fixed set of microphones that you can't edit. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to be able to kind of change all those things. I just think as a comprehensive but like short learning curve, easy to use tool, it was very, very good.
It sounds amazing. Yeah. I can really see why people buy things because of things you say. You really have me sold on this already. It's been 90 seconds of you talking about it. Well done.
Yeah, Addictive Drums 2. I thoroughly recommend it, dear listener. It's on the more expensive line of plugins, you know, at the sort of £150 mark. And that's just for three kits. I think the full version of it is, you know, £300-400. But
so are they like, is it like licensed kits? Like what are they, like real kits, or is it?
Yeah, so they are real drum kits. So you've got, the studio previously known as Sound City. What's it called now? Do you remember? I can't remember. Oh, that's bad, isn't it?
Soundstown? They've been downgraded.
Is it called Fairfax now? Is that what it's called? Because I think the kit is known as is the Fairfax kit that's on there, which is the one that's been recorded at Sound City, and then you're editing. And then they've got something else called something like Blue Velvet or something like that, which I think is a vintage Gretsch kit. I'm not 100% sure. I mainly messed around with the Fairfax. It was just a little bit more straight up, simple, and you know, just an obvious kit.
It is amazing the lengths they go to now to do that sort of stuff. A friend of mine, who is at, has got a room at Air Studios. At one point, they were doing Hans Zimmer's piano, which was basically a soft synth that you could buy. And they built, apparently, they built a machine that would, they just left running overnight, basically, but would play every single key at like a multitude of different velocities, and then it just move along the entire piano.
Well, isn't that exactly sampled. The idea behind Roland's? I forgot the name of the type.
Roland Cloud.
No. What you do with your samples for your piano sounds? Ultra. real.
You're talking about...
Supernatural. Like
Supernatural. Supernatural. There we are. Supernatural.
Yes. Don't ask me about it. Friend of the podcast, Jeff Narona, would know. But yeah. I think it's that
because previously on a lot of electric digital pianos, you know, the how hard you were pressing down your finger on the key, all you were actually changing is how loud that one sample is played back. So if that sample is just of someone yamming a key, then, you know, it's just varying volumes. Whereas the strings on a piano, obviously the same as the strings on a guitar, react differently, have different tonal characteristics depending on how hard you hit the keys. And the idea of Supernatural, which I at first thought was that Roland got a bunch of ghosts to play the pianos, but that's not the case. It was just that there's a... It was that there were loads and loads of samples, which I thought was very cool. Yeah.
But just to kind of finish on the drum thing, I actually, there was an article which was five metal albums or six metal albums you didn't realise had programmed drums, one of which I did know had programmed drums, and it's a fantastic album and really a testament to how good it can sound once laid down and mixed. And that's Catch 33 by Meshuggah. And what was amazing about that was Thomas Hark, the drummer, basically was like, we don't really have the budget all the time to record my drum kit for this. So I've been working with Drummer from Hell. Here's all my samples of my actual kit. I'll just program all the drums. So the entire album is his drum samples and then him programming the drums. Then he learned all the tracks afterwards.
That's really cool. Well, I tell you what, I've actually been having, you know, not fallout, but certainly a disagreement with my band over the last couple of weeks over me getting very into the idea of you know, using software for drums, because I'm kind of like, we could record now, like we could make new music now, and everyone's like, no, we do things organically with organic stuff, and you know,
is that process being led by the drummer, by any chance? is he looking at the fact that you used to be a three piece and you're now a five piece, and now everyone's like, do we need this many people in this band? that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's really recruited people on his side.
Yes.
And
yes.
Too right.
But interestingly, Joe, I mentioned this to you earlier, but about plugins. My friend started an Instagram channel called Digital Rigs, which is basically him just making amazing ambient sounds or guitar sounds only using plugins. And every video that he's put up so far, he's only done about five. They're all annotated, so you can see exactly what he's doing. I'm just like, man, they all sound really good. Like,
this
just to give you
fantastic.
Like ideas to start with, you know, or even just to find plugins that you didn't even know existed. He put up a sound the other day called Ambient Droplets. I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. He was like, oh, Ambient Droplets is a plugin that has 32 stereo delay lines at which you can then set at random times. And I was like, I mean, anyone made this into a pedal? And he was like, oh, it's on Mac now for $29. And I was like, I shall buy this.
I'm just looking it up now.
He spends all of his time living in the plug-in world. He doesn't actually have a lot of time to plug in real amps and stuff like that. And he's done work for a whole bunch of TV and movies. And he recently did that Amazon program, Good Omens. And he had to do a load of different metal tracks. All of the stuff he was doing on that was like plug-in work. I was just like, how'd you get it to sound so good? So I thought I'd give him a bit of a shout out on the podcast, as people probably listen to this and listen to you and me talk about plugins quite a lot for guitar, Joe. And I was just like, oh, he's actually given me a bit of inspiration in how to create some half decent sounds, which I thought
Digital
was
pretty good. Digital Rigs, dear listener, go and check it out on Instagram, Digital Rigs. I've already found that droplets, the raindrop delay, $29 plus VAT. On the Sign Vibes website. Sign Vibe is the company that makes it. I'm absolutely getting that. Oh, God damn it.
It's interesting how, I mean, do we know of anyone that's actually taken the plunge to using just that live? Is it safe to use live?
Well, I mean, it's certainly what people like Pliny use live.
Does he actually, what, just interface and then just running Neural DSP in the background?
I mean, I don't actually really know. I know I listen to prog, but I don't listen to crap. You know.
Oh, Joe, that is harsh.
Wow.
No,
wow.
That sort of plinky plonky stuff isn't my cup of tea at all.
His name's
so
Pliny.
I have no idea.
No, Pliny. Not plinky.
Not plinky.
Come on, Joe.
I remember we interviewed him at ArcTangent in 2017.
Yeah,
2018. And he was like, oh, my first rig was just an Ibanez and a Boss ME50. And I was like, yeah. He was like, I used that for ages until someone showed me how to use plugins. And I was like, damn them. But yeah, I guess that was part of what the Orange Omec Teleport was in a way designed to do, wasn't it? Sort of like a pedal board friendly interface.
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. I never really understood what that pedal did, and I never really understood why everyone liked it so much, because it just like I couldn't. I was like, "What are you doing with this? Like, what is it?"
Well, it was essentially a Scarlett Solo, but you could fit it on your pedal board.
It was an interface for your pedal board, basically.
Yeah, it was an interface. You can actually just use it USB straight in. In fact, I did lend my one to a friend when his interface broke down. Recently, just as it's a
effectively, it is allowing you to pull sounds out of Amplitude or some other software straight out into your pedal board. Mm.
Well, the other one. Oh, okay, right. So you're taking sounds from the computer.
So you need the computer to be there.
In the computer.
But it's pedal board sized and has an input and an output. So if, for example, I have some really good Space Echo delays that I could have patched through the Omec Teleport, and the Omec Teleport could sit on my pedal board.
And then you could plug into an amp.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
So I'd have my reverb after, my drives and modulation before, then the Omec Teleport with a, you know, hopefully a long lead and my laptop over at the back of the stage somewhere out of danger. But it allows you to use any of those things on a pedal board format. I'm not sure that's something anyone ever really needed to do, but
well,
it's definitely a fun thing.
I guess that's partly an answer to my question, which is anyone using plugins live? Because there are definitely some great uses, and I've seen some great people have it, you know, at home and in the studio. But I wonder if that's why people are moving to, or, you know, you're seeing a lot of that scene move to things like the Quad Cortex or Kemper or Axe FX, because it's a kind of more of a physical hardware unit for stage rather than taking a MacBook out and, The only person I can think of off the top of my head who's using a guitar running through a computer program is Johnny Greenwood in Radiohead, and he runs a custom Max DSP like glitch patch that he wrote for a couple of solos.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it basically makes your guitar sound like it's going through a really broken lead, which is great.
Cool.
I guess maybe given the choice, a lot of people just want to run through amps.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's like it's so niche, and people are so worried about stuff. Like the interest is niche, or, you know, has been up until, I guess we'll see what happens when live music comes back after the pandemic. But like, I think people just want simplicity. They want stuff to work, and they know that a guitar into a distortion pedal into a tube amp works. And like, it takes such a seismic shift to move people away from that. I mean, you know, Axe FX came out when? 10 years ago? And it's like, it even really took Kempers to coming out before you started seeing them being used live. I mean, certainly in the kind of circles that I move in. I just think it you need like these big seismic shifts in order for widespread acceptance.
I think we are seeing that, though, in a lot of modern tech metal, and those are new genres. Like, I admit, like, you know, that I'm kind of dragging my band into it because I'm in a band with a bunch of old prog guys. You're in the punk scene, Jay, which is never going to, you know, start embracing software. But I do think in kind of newer genres, like if we're looking at kind of, you know, like modern tech metal and the new bands that are coming out of there. It does seem to be. Look at Neural DSP. They're, you know, all of their plugins are signature amp models for new bands, for like new artists. So I think there are places that it's moving, but it will of course be genre specific. You know, I guess, you know, different genres are always going to have their things that make that genre sound the way they do. And I don't think we necessarily in punk or prog are, you know, in the need of some all singing, all dancing plugin.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Anyway, in the kind of wanting to move on from plugins and talk about guitars, I'm going to talk about my plugin of the week, because I did say I would do that every week, so I'll make it very, very quick. It's a free plugin. Now, each week I am trying to find a free or very, very affordable plugin, which I think is very good, which you should get, dear listener, if you're home recording. IK Multimedia have made their kind of Moog Model D style plugin completely free. Their Syntronic Memory V is completely free for newsletter subscribers. So all you've got to do is go to ikmultimedia.com. There's like a, you download their product manager, you sign up to their newsletter via that, and then you can download both their Syntronic and their Syntronic Memory V synthesizer. It looks very good. Great interface, really kind of intuitive, laid out like a vintage Moog. So perfect if you don't want any of these kind of the more modern synthesizer plugins, which are just screen upon screen of kind of presets and loads of controls. This is kind of simple. Well, I mean simple, there are probably 30 rotaries on there, but you know, it's more familiar nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And you know, completely free, definitely worth checking out. I think it sounds very good. That's all we'll say about plugins. We should move on to some other stuff.
Actually plugging in.
Yeah, let's talk about actually plugging in. The new Polymath album came out this week. I wanted to mention that very briefly.
Not plugging in your headphones, Joe.
No, well, there you go. You would be plugging in your headphones. And I mixed and mastered that all myself, the entire record. So yeah, go check it out, dear listener. All the guitars are recorded with Boss Katanas.
I mean, that is
incredible.
A triumph.
I was waiting for the point at which I could say, without wanting to say well done about something, but well done on an album of entirely Katanas. That is insane. Yeah, it sounds so good as well. I'm not just saying that because you're right here, but it sounds awesome. Really does.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. Yeah, it was good fun. In fact, all the Katanas, not only are they recorded, is it recorded on them, they're recorded direct. So via the USB out on the Katana straight into a computer. Now, of course, there's been post EQing and compression and all sorts of things
and,
on there. But
high quality professional mastering.
Yeah. Well, yes. Me sort of spending 3 days doing nothing but watching YouTube videos on how to master is kind of the.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't talk yourself down. Thanks, you didn't. You didn't irrevocably damage your hearing for nothing, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Consummate pro.
Do you know that's still going on? Still, right ear, permanent tinnitus. I can hear it out of it now, but not as much as the other one. It's still like not 100%. Really, I've kind of got used to it now. It's sort of settled. I've settled into it as being like just a new part of everything. But
I mean, I hate to. You know, bring it down on this, but I noticed my tinnitus in about 2004, and well, here we are 16-17 years later and it's still trucking. So
well, it's incurable, isn't it? Sorry, Joe, if you didn't know that.
No!
I'm so sorry.
It's like yeah I think so. Yeah,
I think it can come and go for some people, but I think technically it is there isn't a
I'm like cure. I'm very used to it now, so it's like,
yeah,
it's,
oh yeah,
it's, it's just I would just make sure, like, just make sure you just gotta make sure you take care of yourself moving forward, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, I fully intend to. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, Matt, I know we talk about them a lot. Boss Katanas, like, absolutely fantastic. I can't believe how well they record.
Yeah, I must admit, Joe, I've just made a little note to make sure that I send that album to the Japanese team and just say, look, my friend recorded everything on this lovely Katana that you made. I don't want to use this as a platform to be like, yes, please buy the things that I work for every day. But every time I plug into one, I'm always just as impressed as I was the first time. And it's quite depressing when you've got like £20,000 worth of like guitar amps and pedals and stuff in your flat, and then you're just like, I could just plug it all into a Katana. And that's why I'm still really impressed with the Wazera headphones. I'm like, now I don't even have to go through a speaker. But yeah, no, it means a lot, Joe. I know you've used them a lot, and I certainly don't have to force you to use them. So yeah, it's amazing that you got all of that out of Katana and through the USB as well. It's just amazing. And yeah, to see them, I think the moment for me that I was super, I don't know, kind of a bit struck by it all was the last time I went to Nashville for Summer NAMM. And walking down the kind of the main strip where they have all the bands and stuff. And these are all like, these guys play all day, every day. And, you know, you've got five or six of these amazing players just using Katanas. And you're just like, these guys are in Nashville with like the best, the access to like the best guitars and the best gear around. And they're just out there geeking with Katanas all day. I'm like, that's amazing. So, yeah. Crazy to think that it's only been in the market since 2016, August 2016.
Before did it ever that, win a Gear of the Year? It didn't, did it? I think we were late to realising how good it was.
Well, if you remember, that first year, you lot tried to put the Blues Cube through, and yeah. I was like, I don't know if you guys have listened to these amps, because we had them both at my house, and I was like, this one sounds so much better. What's wrong with you? And then you went, oh yeah, it does sound better. I think it did win, didn't it?
Oh, did it? Oh,
I think it. It was definitely high ranked. So yeah, but yeah, no, amazing, Joe. Seriously.
Yeah,
amazing.
Well, yeah, fantastic amplifiers and a wonderful set of like effects that you can obviously, you know, you can manipulate via your computer as well. So it's
yeah, I think for me, it's the great thing is that you don't have to do that. But there are people. I can't remember if I said this last a year ago. Actually, I went to a user organized Katana event in Amsterdam, which about 60 people turned up to, all Katana users just being like, we love Katana so much. We've come to an all day event to talk about Katana.
Wow.
And
was it successfully led? Like, was there a gang leader of these Katana fans?
There was. And they invited me, and it was amazing because some people had created, one guy created a custom foot switch that basically he got a Raspberry Pi computer system, basically built the Katana editor into this foot switch, and then was like, yeah, I can edit everything on this one foot switch in the Katana.
Oh my God.
And like custom designed all the hardware and like had it all like 3D printed, and people, it's not got any iPad compatibility for editing. They're like, I've built my own editor.
Wow.
And stuff like that. And I was just like, this is amazing. You know, the dedication. To that product. So I was just like, yeah,
it's the Squire Bronco of the amplifier market.
Yes. And yeah, people have been doing speaker changes and all sorts. I think Anderton's did a video recently actually, which was like 12 different speakers in a Katana 50. And then I think they decided, no, in a Katana 100, because you can't change speakers in a 50 because they're 4 ohms. So there's not as many commercially available speakers. And then I think they concluded that the Katana one was actually probably the best one.
Wow.
After all that.
I got this Elnico cream. Cost me £400. Oh,
yeah, oops. Yeah. I bought this vintage Jensen speaker from the 60s. So, yeah. It's almost like the engineers like tested all the speakers and then designed like one that worked with the product. But there you go.
Very cool product. Now, you know, I want to talk about a pickup brand, because, of course, with the Squire Broncos recently, we've been getting very into the idea of modding bases, and that kind of got me thinking about mod mode again, and maybe not kind of the mod mode that we'd originally intended, but I definitely, after I'm finished with this Bronco, I really want to do a guitar, because as fun as doing a bass is, and that would always be more important to me, I feel like I'll have a bunch more options, doing a guitar as well. And also, with modding the bass, I feel like I'm really tied to wanting to make it something that I want to play. So I want to choose the right pickup. And the thing is, I'm quite dull in that I just want one pickup in the middle of the body. I don't need a tone control. Like, you know, it's quite basic and simple. Whereas on a guitar, I don't really care. So I can fit 7 pickups into it, and some sort of B bender that you control off of the headstock. It would definitely be more creative for me, and that got me thinking about, because I'm having my Fidelity guitars built at the moment, and Fidelity guitars, more often than not, I think almost exclusively for all their kind of production models or their light series, Matt from Fidelity uses Mojo pickups here in the UK. Mark from Mojo Pickups, who makes all of their pickups. Now, if you go to their website, if you go to mojopickups.co.uk, oh my God, the amount of stuff he does. And also, if you go to that website probably any later than the 5th or 6th of the month, it will have a little header saying that his books are filled for the next 30 days and to check back later, because he just always gets so overbooked with people commissioning pickups to be made, which of course he makes to order.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Every single pickup. There are so many, and they're so interesting and different. So I kind of wanted to talk about what everyone's favourites are from there. You know, what really stands out as being some awesome pickups that would be a good idea to retrofit into some sort of budget guitar. It doesn't, we won't worry too much about whether that's humbucker, P90, soak bar, single coil size just yet. Just what people think are some of the cool things. Matt Knight, start us off.
Yeah, I was just before that, I wanted to know if you knew any more about the history, because they seem to be appearing in a lot of different guitars. And obviously, I think we were probably maybe more aware of them from Fidelity, but looking on the website, he's been doing it for 10 years. And I just wonder why you don't ever see them, haven't seen them as much or haven't heard about, because the gold foil feels like their thing. And I don't really know the history behind gold foil pickups, as it were. But they're just a really, really interesting brand for the kind of designs that they're doing. Obviously, like their website's got, strap pickups and Tele pickups, but I mean, they've actually got one on here called the Kleenex, which is
I was looking at that
because it looks like a box of tissues. I must admit, I mean, they're the website as it stands right now does have some very cool stuff. I mean, the shark fin, which is like a, I guess it's like a Filtertron with a chrome surround, but then it's half bladed, half pickup screws. It's just bizarre. I mean, I don't even know where these design ideas even come from. Because some of them are obviously born in retro sort of stuff, but yeah, just, I don't know. I don't even know where I'd start, to be honest, Joe. I mean, the gold foils look amazing. Obviously, I was playing the Harmony Juno. They've got those gold foil style pickups on. I'm like, I think all guitars with those look very, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the gold foils are definitely a thing. The Firebird size gold foils, like fitting a kind of a Gretschy style gold foil into a Firebird surround, I think looks incredible. And yeah, you're right. There's such a broad range of interesting fascia'd gold foil pickups in there. Like something that stood out for me was their Deco Sonic, which is their sort of oblong Art Deco designed pickup. It's on their website in white, but I've seen him do versions of it in black with white sort of design work on it, and it just looks like nothing else. I've never seen a pickup. I've never seen a pickup look like this. Well, Naomi, yeah. you're kind of the bass pickup aficionado, being one of the, you know, the few people to get the Serik B90 over into the UK. What's your take on the options for bass here?
I feel like a child in a museum having a great time, to be honest. I mean, not to just sort of second what you guys have already said, but I mean, it's the combination of both the kind of breadth of catalog and attention to design. Like, I'm looking at the Charlie Christian here, and it's incredible looking. It has like angled edges with a blade, I guess, a blade with a really sharp surround. In terms of the bass ones, there was, hang on now, can I find it again?
I shared like the G-Tone gold foil bass pickup the other day, which is based on the Gaiatone gold foils, where you've got like an orange top to the pickup.
Yeah, thought that was beautiful. I'd be really curious to hear it, actually. Does he have demos up, or how have you kind of heard them when you have heard them?
I've not heard them. There's demos of some stuff, but not normally via Mojo, just normally by someone who's got one in a guitar sort of thing. So.
Yeah.
That's reputation, isn't it? That's some reputation.
No, definitely, yeah. I'll tell you one two I really want to hear is the P90 Soapbar Dynabass. Yeah. They look incredible. And they look like they would sound very exciting as well. I think, yeah, you hit on something there when you were talking about mods, Joe, which is, you know, the beauty of modding a Bronco, other than the price and that being accessible to a lot more people than maybe some of the more high-end instruments, is the simplicity. Like, it's not necessarily kind of a go-to that you'd whack in three pickups there. So I think it's good to kind of think outside of that box in terms of like a super, super accessible mod, and think of whacking tons of pickups in instead of just one, and instead of just having your tone and control. But yeah, I don't know, maybe that's a more kind of bass-minded thing.
Yeah, possibly. On that, the P90 Soap by the Dynabass pickup is what I've got in my Fidelity. That's what is going to be.
Oh, is
there.
It? Okay,
yeah, so
cool.
You know, you'll get to try that out at some point. But
awesome. Yeah. I'll get in the car now. Yeah.
No, not until the 8th of March or something. Unless you're playing the bass outside, I think.
Right. Yeah. I'll play Joe's absolutely lovely bass outside, no problem.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine in the garden.
Joe can hold the umbrella. Just on the guitar front, the Wide Range Jazzmaster, I don't know what you guys thought of that, but it caught my eye. I will be very curious to hear it in a guitar.
There's a Wide Range Jazzmaster pickup. And
yeah, did you guys see that? Yeah, I thought that was very cool.
That is very cool.
And then there was a Staple P90 Soap Bar as well that caught my eye. I've never seen magnets in that shape before, so I'm curious as to the thinking other than visuals.
They're based on the very first Les Paul Customs.
Oh, are they?
That sort of single 90 in the neck position, and right. and certainly on one of the fidelities I was having made, I was talking to Matt Oram about. It was Tim's. He wanted a P90 in the bridge, and we were talking about. We were talking about pickups and possibly going for that, and it was Matt Oram that pointed out to me that he was like, it's quite a specifically kind of thinner, aggressive single coil tone, so very far okay. from a P90, which is why it's very much its own thing. So we you know opted not to get that in the end. But certainly, as far as cool looking pickups go, the staple single coil in a humbucker housing has got to be one of the coolest.
Yeah.
I've actually been umming and ahhing about getting the Mustang pickups from Mojo for a while because
they're really affordable and really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong, to be honest with you, with the pickups that I've got in my Mustang, but I don't know. I kind of feel like it's maybe I'll just mix it up a little bit, just try them out because, like you say, they are really affordable, and it's I don't know. Try them out. Like, there's not that many companies that do Mustang pickups as aftermarkets because, you know, they're probably the most niche of the main Fender models, I would suggest. So you don't tend to see them. I mean, even Fender don't do an aftermarket set of Mustang pickups, presumably because they all use the same pickups, though I don't know. No, actually, no, because there'll be different ones in the Vinteras and in the American Performers. But, regardless, I think I might get a set of these.
Well, do you continue to have the black covers or do you go for white covers?
I think I'd go for black because my Mustang has got a perloid plate. Uh-huh. So I think it would look a bit weird having perloid plate and then white pickups.
Right, yeah.
Do you disagree?
No. It was genuinely a question. I wondered which one you'd go for, if you'd keep it the way it was intended or try and sort of make it look a little hot-rodded. But I think you're right. The white and perloid might be a little weird.
I think perloid you've just got to be a little bit careful with because it can... You can move from it looking like a, you know, kind of tasteful 50s diner to looking like, you know, your grandmother's bathroom quite quickly.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know... Well, Got to be careful with the bathroom. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I think it's a great idea updating the Mustang pickups just because I kind of feel like that's the pickup type that's more likely to be relatively, you know, fine. It's supposed to be kind of a budget pickup. So when you get custom companies making replacement pickups, they've really thought about how to improve that pickup type. I actually recorded a little video for James's Home of Tone at the end of last week where I did a little comparison between the McNelly Music Master bass pickup and the standard Bronco pickup.
Did you? Nice.
Yeah, just because I've got the three Broncos here, so I sort of... I did like a drum track and then I dropped in, you know, playing from both. So it was, so you can sort of seamlessly see the change between the two. Mm-hmm. And considering it's not, it's, if you get it from James's Home of Tone, the McNelly Bronco pickup and the James's Home of Tone harness, it's, you don't need to solder a thing. It drops in completely into your Bronco with nothing done, you know, other than a few screws, and the tonal difference, considering that pickup is the same size and shape, is absolutely incredible. It sounds like a proper P bass with a McNelly in, and obviously it's a Strat pickup in the standard Bronco, and the Bronco is a, you know, the most affordable Fender bass, so you shouldn't be expecting Squier bass, so you know. You shouldn't be expecting it to sound like the world's best P bass. It's a fantastic starter, but you know it's of course going to have some kind of some limitations. It's going to be a little thinner, a bit quieter, but the difference is massive between the McNelly and the standard pickup. And so it's like, well, this is almost a no brainer mod. If you don't want to cut into the body, it's a fantastic thing to.
Completely, yeah. No solder mods for the win.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love soldering. I really, really enjoy the idea that it could be accessible to people who don't necessarily own or want to engage with soldering irons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
like me.
I'm,
Like me.
I'm just terrible.
Are you not
at
a Solder
soldering.
Fan? I always
just leave mine on. I always forget about it. I always finish what I'm doing. I put it in the thing and then I leave my garage and then I'll come back down later and there are like burn holes in stuff. Like the harness that it sits in is all melted at the bottom. I'm just like, one of these days, you know, I'm going to burn down my house. So the less
that
soldering
is exactly what I'm worried about. 100% what I'm worried about.
Yeah,
burning down the house. Tom Jones in the whole place, you know, bloody nightmare.
There you go. Exactly.
But hey, if the pickup sounds good,
it does sound great. It does sound great. Now, Matt Knight, I want to talk about Fex pedals. More importantly, I want to talk about the forthcoming The Pedal movie. And of course, we've spoken about some of the effects pedals that are going to be, or that have already landed, sold out, and then been resold for double or triple the amount of money on the very platform that has that introduced the pedals. There's more stuff now.
It's always good to see a pedal go up for sale secondhand before the person who bought it originally has even received it, which is what happened with the last set of these releases, which, yeah, is kind of crazy. But Reverb are doing a documentary called The Pedal Movie, which they've teased a little bit about. There's quite a few people from the world of pedals being involved. And as part of that, they have gone out to various companies for collaborations. So the first of which was the, was it called the Time Space? That's the new Pigtronics pedal. What is it called? I'm looking at it here. Earthquaker Devices and Death by Audio. And I can't for the life of me remember what it was called. Which is basically their crazy sort of reverb pedal. And then Chase Bliss did the Bliss Factory, which sold out, I think, in 45 minutes. They did 1,000 pieces. Sold out instantly. And everyone who got one was super happy, and everyone who didn't was super sad. So after a lot of pressure, they've decided to do another run of 1,000, which is amazing for a company like Chase Bliss. I know before they've said that, you know, doing 1,000 of anything, they never thought it'd be possible. So to do another 1,000 of the Bliss Factory, which is coming in an anodized black. The other one was in a chrome.
I bet the people that got the first one are gutted now. This one looks way better.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to buy another one. No. So effectively the Bliss Factory, which is their sort of modded Fuzz Factory, which has got the resonant low pass filter from their Condor, which you can then assigned to the auxiliary control, so you can do these kind of crazy filter sweeps, which is awesome. Then after that, George Tripps of Way Huge and now Dunlop, I think he's the lead designer at MXR Dunlop, did a limited run of 10 fuzz faces, which I don't think anyone got a look in at all. They must have sold out in probably about 5 seconds, because I think the web page didn't even, I think they just took the webpage down, because I tried to get one and I was like, no, I think that's impossible. He did a run of only 10 fuzz faces, which I think were all built by him, came in an army green and were based off the first fuzz face he built. The next run has been announced. So alongside the new Bliss Factory, Walrus Audio are doing a limited edition double pedal of their Warhorn Fuzz and the Ages, with some very, very cool graphics on the front. So you've got the Warhorn is the more transparent overdrive with symmetrical and asymmetrical clipping, while the Ages is their 5-state overdrive. So you've got loads of different gain modes on there as well. So very, very cool. And then Way Huge are doing the Beer and Effect Pedal, which are basically
love those.
Which is absolutely brilliant. Which is basically a rehousing and renaming of two of their current pedals. So the Beer is the company's Saucy Box, which is their kind of amp-like drive, and then they've got the effect pedal, which is the Swollen Pickle.
It's worth pointing out that the effect pedal looks like a like Tesco own brand carrier bag something like that.
It's absolutely
amazing.
It
totally does, doesn't it?
And the Time Shadows was the name of the Death by Audio and Earthquaker collaboration. So yeah, a couple of new ones. Not sure. I'm guessing they're saying here, Pedal Movie, they'll be up for sale this coming Tuesday. So sign up with your email.
It's literally the day that this podcast comes out for patrons. It will have come out yesterday for anyone listening. Oh, so imagine everything's sold out.
Yes. That's fine. I'll sit nice and happy with my original run. Worth more now because, you know, initial run, serial number 17. You know, keeping it low. Yes, although the only thing that I guess you expected, because that's the design of it, I didn't even think about it when I bought it. Obviously, MIDI, which is amazing, you know, on a Fuzz Factory, so you can have a bunch of different presets. But the volume control is also saved when you save presets rather than being universal. And so depending on the situation
that
you're playing.
Is that a good idea?
Well, that's the only thing, because you might be at home and you might set a bunch of settings and they might be lower in volume, and then you go to a gig and then you kick in a bunch of presets.
Yeah, I'd have thought the volume's the one thing you want to.
No, because you can, all of the controls are rampable. So obviously you can ramp up and down, you know, so some people were making like tremolos with it and stuff like that, because you can also assign the ramp control to the volume, and then you can have the, yeah, volume go all over the place and stuff like that. And yeah, so if you preset volumes and then you select them via MIDI, they come back, you know, where you set them for that particular thing. So if you're doing stuff in the studio, that might be fine, because you might just be sitting here and dialing in sounds, but live may be slightly annoying. But I'm guessing many people, like me currently, sad to say, it's just looking very pretty on my pedal shelf.
But
I do want to put it on my pedal board for the build off, Joe.
Yeah. You're bringing that against me.
Yes, of course. Fine. You know, there's going to be points for rarity.
Well, I'm not even going to have a fuzz on mine.
Well.
Bold words, Joe.
Bold words. Although, what do you normally use?
I think
for
I
drive?
Smell a lie, actually.
You're going to put an ODB3 on there.
Is that what you think? No.
Yeah. Classic. The classic drive. The only drive. For a long time, when I was a kek, I'm pretty sure the only drive. For bass players.
Yeah, it was that or the Electro Harmonix Big Muff Pi bass.
Ah, yes. Remember it well.
Oh, yeah. That was good. That was a good one. That was the affordable one, because you could get that for like 50 quid. And the ODB was like 100 quid or whatever. Which was at the time too expensive for how far bass playing bassist effects have come, you know. Now we have loads of drives. Not that I use any bass specific drives, actually. All really bass specific pedals. Oh yeah, the compressor's bass specific, I guess. But I tell you what, I've got on the way, I've got one of the two things. Here we are. Jackson Audio. We're obviously big fans of Jackson Audio. They make great stuff. So I've got their Bloom V2, which is their MIDI version of the Bloom, on the way. So that's like a compressor EQ preamp pedal that is now MIDI controllable. So I'm going to be very excited to integrate that into my MIDI controlled rig. I think that might become my new compressor of choice. Everything I've seen of the Bloom is absolutely fantastic. And of course, if it's too much for you, because it is an expensive pedal, but also if you just don't need all those parameters, Jackson Audio have also released the Blossom, which is like a not quite mini pedal, but like a sort of a slender pedal version of the Bloom, where you've just got kind of a single control EQ, mix, compression level and volume. Oh, I really, really like that pedal.
Actually, you talking about compression made me realize or remember to say that I got a JHS Tighty Whitey, which is their mini compressor. As much as I hate mini pedals. You know, I can fit three under the tier on my pedal board, and it's wicked. I didn't realize how much I just need a little compression sometimes.
Why do you need three?
Yeah, three compressors, you know, three different settings. I have three pedal boards that I all plug into, just all set different things. Yeah, no, it's been great for just lifting out some of the more sort of ambient sounds out of the out of reverbs and delays a little bit, because it's just volume, compression level, and then a blend control.
Oh, that's good. That's the way it should be. Good. So, you like the old Boss CS2? That's what we want.
Just
that didn't have. Did that have a blend?
Didn't have blend control. Knob.
Oh no, it didn't.
Yeah, it's good.
No, it's like the classic compressor, like that, but you can just dial in some more of the dry. So I just turn the compression amount all the way up, and then just only blend in about 30% of the actual compression signal. Perfect.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. Yes. Moving on from the world of pedals to the world of pedal boards. I had no idea. This is why I didn't put this in news. I just put it in like stuff I wanted to talk about. That Mono have made carbon fiber pedal boards.
Hook them to my veins.
Yeah.
I think these look like TV trays. this looks like something that you would have your dinner on. I mean, I think that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's great.
Yes,
it's see also something you could do press ups against.
Oh, now we're talking. Yes. Now we're talking.
It's the pedal board that does everything. It'll be with you all throughout your day.
Yes, absolutely. Wow, look at that. That is a Naomi. That is, Joe, can you get a sample of one of these? Because I need to.
I don't know, what do press ups work on? Pectorals, biceps,
yeah, arms and abs and stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They can work on the whole upper body if you want.
Yeah, they're very good.
There you go. Yeah. So Mono released carbon fiber pedal boards. I missed our news when they actually landed. So apologies, dear
listener. When did these come out then?
I'm not sure, but I hadn't seen like a press release. I was just sort of, I saw them in an ad or something and clicked on. I was like, man, these are actually great. Like flat pedal boards with hands. They kind of look like, what's that pedal board company, Matt, that we get custom stuff made for? Oh, custom pedal
boards.
Custom
pedal boards. Yeah. What's that pedal board company that make custom boards? Oh, that's right. Custom pedal boards.
Yeah, but it looks fantastic. I like the fact that it's got those two handles on the side. It's dead simple. It's flat, and of course, you know, they come with or you can purchase separately the Mono pedalboard cases, which, as you know, mono gig bags and mono cases in general seem to be kind of the highest quality, best gig bag solutions on the market at the moment. I think these look great for people who don't want like an angled slatted board. There's finally kind of like a premium alternative from a decent brand.
Ooh, yeah, I mean this is like the alternative to a lightweight alternative to the old. When we were working at GAC, the pedal boards really were the only kind of go-to at the time. Were like the Diago ones.
I couldn't remember the name.
They were the go-to.
Sorry, go on, Matty.
No, I didn't say anything.
Naomi.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was agreeing. I was interrupting you so that I could say the same thing.
They were great. The only problem was they were really heavy, and then they kind of got left behind a little bit because Pedal Train came out with their like angled slatted pedal boards, and that became, you know, absolutely the thing to go towards, and people just moved away from having, you know, that kind of flat, self-contained unit. But I always thought they were really smart. Like, I thought they were really, really cool. And, you know, if you don't want to have the spaghetti junction underneath your pedal board, you know, if you're only using a handful of pedals or whatever, or you've just invested in some cable management systems, then I think these are great. I think it's a great idea. Look, they look really sleek. I bet they weigh absolutely nothing, and they're made of carbon fiber, so super strong. Yeah. Really into it. I think it looks very cool.
The only thing I would say is, obviously being carbon fiber, very cool. But the price, you know, they are definitely more of a premium.
Were they?
Pedal board.
I didn't look at the price. What was the price?
Pedal board. So they're large carbon pedal board. Bear in mind, it does come with a mono gig bag, which do carry...
Oh, it does come with it. Oh.
Yes, it does, which obviously themselves cover, you know, come with somewhat of a large price tag, but they're good bags. So the large pedal board, which is 30 by 14, it's a good size. You're going to get quite a lot on there.
Foot.
Yeah, 30 yep. foot by, you know, you can use it as a raft, you know, Castaway. Tom Hanks would have loved one of these on the
island. Absolutely. I mean, you know, apocalypse friendly. That's what we need right now.
That's why you should have opened that package because, you know, it could have been.
Spoilers, Matty, spoilers.
He doesn't. Sorry. so the large pedal board with the bag is $499.
Premium. What's the small one? Because I feel like with a flat pedal board,
$299.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That was my question. So it's fully flat, right? And we're not looking at any kind of cable management underneath.
Well, actually, no. You are a little bit. I think you might get. No, I would say that the feet probably. Aren't. But then again, I've got a flat pedal board from Custom Pedal Boards, which is roughly the same size as the small pedal train. And you can do some pretty neat cable management with a bit of a few cable ties and well-designed cut-to-length patch cables. Actually, to be honest, sure. You can get away with it, I would say, anyway. I tend to find that these pedal boards always work best if you've got a setup that... you're kind of sort of well actually there's two I would say you could either set it up so it's set and forget, so it's just wired out really neatly and it's grab and go and then it's always set up exactly the same way, or I was using mine for quite a long time with a power brick on top set up with a few cables and a tuner, and I just use it to demo stuff. If you go for like a pedal train and you've got cables wired underneath and you know you kind of don't want the hassle of like ripping out your nice pedal board all the time, these are really good options for, you know, a flat board's a good option, just trialing a load of stuff. But I would say maybe at that price, you're probably looking at something that you'd want to set up permanently. I must admit, though, things like the handles and the overall design, I mean, they do look super cool.
So these were actually announced at NAMM last year. This was NAMM 2020.
Really?
Just totally passed us by. And having a look around, they are in stock. I think they might be exclusive to the Mono website because I can't find them in any UK or European dealers. And actually, I just went on the Guitar Center website as well and I can't see them on there. So unless they're exclusive to like a couple of dealers in the US or whatever, they might only be exclusive to the Mono website, which means we might not see them over here. Which is a shame, but yeah, they're a lot of money, but they're very cool. It's
very cool.
It's a cool concept, and
yeah, either way, better than you know a kitchen worked up with an alarm cut into the middle.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Joe. That sounds great.
Nothing wrong with that, Joe.
Well, that does that's all the time we have on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, join us on our Patreon episode at patreon.com/guitarnerds. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At $1, you'll get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 gets you access to our Patreon special episodes and our entire back catalogue. And $10 will get you the lot plus, you know, I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. You can find us on your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Bye. I spend all of my time listening to Guitar Nerds. I spend all of my time listening to Guitar Nerds. I spend all of my time listening to Guitar Nerds. Listen to Guitar Nerds.
Ian Manning, Russell Haley, Kristen Abbott, Ty Allen, Yogi the guitarist, Carl Harris, Cloud Lifter, Todd Simons, Joe Hubbard, Sean Hughes, Brian Hansen, Shane M, Jeffrey Watts, Eric Emmer, Samuel Frost, Brian Iser, Kevin Vandalinda, Jacob Mickey, Andy Manley, Scott Apping, Robert Butterworth, Simon Fillmore, Marcus Alcatawaki, Stuart Robson, Christian Lund Hansen, Keith Adams, Michael McVeigh, Eric File, Ryan McDermott, Eric Peters, Joe Puttick, Richard Selberg, Jack Cutlock, Ed Sayers, A. Matthews, Kytopia, The Band, Sean Arbo, John Anglin, Rob Gruhl, Tucker Abbott, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Weiland, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Derek Rich, Rob Norfolk, Steve Burke, on JD Short, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Robert Smith, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, and Rube
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree dasher, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds travel shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of tree dashers, runners, pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.